Set Free Ministry team and its international ministry partners welcomes you to another edition of The Journey. Whether working in some little jungle village in South Asia or the mean city streets in South America, the Set Free team faithfully brings the message of Jesus to those in need, building churches, training pastors, working with international leaders, and securing our religious freedoms. Set Free touches others for Jesus. Whether using old-fashioned evangelistic crusades or even the newer mediums of television and the internet, we bring the message of the kingdom of heaven to those around us. And now our hosts, Dr. Dale and Terry Climie.
Today we're going to be continuing in our study of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 17 through 22. We'll be finishing up the chapter today. And so you can look that up in your Bible, or if you're like me and that little 8-point font in your Bible just keeps getting smaller and smaller. I believe that it is a conspiracy. Over in India, they showed me a Bible, a complete Old Testament, New Testament that was one inch cubed. And I said, now you've got to be kidding me. And I opened it up and found a great big magnifying glass, and sure enough, all the words were there. And I said, this is absolutely a waste of time. Yeah, you can say that you've always got your Bible with you, but it isn't going to do you any good, because nobody can read that. If I can't read 8.5, I surely can't read something that's microscopic. But we're in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 17. And here, the Apostle Paul is teaching us about division, about divisions within the body. And, you know, it's interesting that there was a time when people grew up and you either graduated from high school and got a job, or you graduated from high school and went to college and got a job and moved out of the house, got married, whatever. And now, according to the debates and all the information that we're getting from there, there's more and more people, children that are moving back in with mom and dad. And the job situation has gotten so bad, the economy has gotten so bad, that a lot of folks that were able to make it just fine a few years ago, they can't make it on their own any longer. And so they're having to move back in with their parents. And Terry and I are in that situation. Not that we've moved back in with our parents, but that our children, our daughter and her husband and the two granddaughters, have moved back in with us. And it's interesting, as you know, all of a sudden you get some different dynamics, because, okay, Terry and I are the mom and dad, right? But then, so are Laura and Michael. They're the mom and dad. And it's kind of funny, like Terry and I will be going out. Maybe we're going to go out on a little secret date or something. And there's our daughter standing there. And just, where do you two think you're going? You know, and we say, that's for us to know and you to find out. Because we're not telling you. And it's really difficult. I mean, we have yet, as long as they've been with us for, what, a year now? Something like that. I don't know. We've still not combined into one family. It's still two families, and they do their thing, and we do our thing, and I just personally think that things would go a whole lot smoother if we would become one family, and we could get along a little better, and kind of do things together or whatever. But we have the grandchildren, and that's good enough, I guess. And so what we're experiencing in having two families living under one roof, with each having their own set of rules and doing their own thing, is very similar to what the Apostle Paul was talking about in Ephesians chapter 2 at the end of the verse, verses 17 through 22, in that at that time you still had people saying that, well, yeah, but I'm a Christian, but you see, I was a Jew before. I became a Christian. And so, because Jesus was a Jew, and I was a Jew, and now I'm a believer, now I'm a Christian, then that makes me better than you Gentiles that are out there, because you weren't Jews. As a matter of fact, there was a group of folks that we affectionately call the Judaizers that would go around from town to town after Paul would leave, and they'd kind of swoop in and say, everything that the Apostle Paul had to tell you was good, but he forgot to tell you one thing. You must first become a Jew before you can become a Christian. And so they would want to put them through all of the procedures of becoming a Jewish convert. Then, in the eyes of the Judaizers, then you were a true believer because you were both a Jew and a believer in Jesus. And so you had a lot of conflict within the church. Who gets closer to God? Whose prayers does God listen to? And you would say, well, what kind of foolishness is that? But isn't that the same thing we hear when our children are arguing?
Yeah.
You know, well, Mama loves me best. Or, you know, he's on my side of the car seat. Or, you know, she bit me or he hit me or whatever. And you get all of this vying for the attention of Mom and Dad. My grandfather, my mother's father, he had an interesting outlook in child discipline. His thought was that if one did it, the rest of them were in on it. And so with 11 children or 13 children, I forgot how big the litter was, you know, if somebody got into trouble, he would just line them up from the oldest to the youngest and beat them one by one. You know, because if one of them did it, the rest of them were in on it. And just as a humorous side note, my mother figured this out, how this was going to work, and she recognized that my grandfather would have worked himself into quite a lather by the time he was through beating the first four or five kids. And so when he got to her, she would say, "Oh, please, don't beat me again. You already beat me." And he'd, "Oh, okay." And then he'd go on and, you know, and beat the next kid, whereupon the older kids would say, "Ah, no, you're not getting away with this." All right. And they would take her out and beat her. I come from a very dysfunctional, long line of dysfunctional families. So. All right. And everybody vying for who's going to get the attention, who is special. And this is the same thing that was going on in the early church. And so Paul in verse 17 says, and he came, Jesus, he came and preached peace to you who were far off, and peace to those who were near. Now he's talking about that those who were far off were the Gentiles. They didn't care about the God of Abraham. They didn't care about the promises of the, you know, what we now call the Old Testament. They didn't care anything about that. Jesus came and preached the kingdom of heaven to them, and peace to those who were near. And those were the Jews, the ones who felt that they were closer to God, because after all, to them had been entrusted the scriptures, to them had been entrusted all the promises to Abraham, to them had been entrusted the law, all of things had been entrusted to them, and so they felt that they were closer to God. But Jesus said, now they, you know, the message of the kingdom, the peace of God is being preached to everybody. It's the same message to those who are far off and those who were near, and through him we both have access in one spirit to the Father. Okay, we both, who is he talking about? Jews and Gentiles. All right, and remember, that's everybody in the Bible economy. There are only Jews and Gentiles. That you're either a Jew or you're not. And so at this time, for both Jews and Gentiles, now Paul says we both, folks who were Jews, folks who weren't Jews, we both have access in one spirit to the Father. And I like that. We have access to the Father.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen?
We don't have to call and make an appointment. Terry would like to go see the doctor. You call up and talk to a secretary, and maybe they can make arrangements to see you within the next 4 to 6 weeks. If you're fortunate. Unless it's the cardiologist. Cardiologist will get you right in the next day. But for some reason, the PCP, we just have a real problem with that office. But at any rate, yeah, that appointment has to be made. But praise God, we don't have to make an appointment with our Heavenly Father. Amen. As a matter of fact, Jesus already made the appointment for us at Calvary, didn't He? Amen. And it's in one spirit. There's not a spirit of God for the believer or for the Gentile believers and another spirit of God for the Jewish believers. We both have that one spirit, the Spirit of God. That one that's called the Paraclete, the one that is called to walk beside us. The one para, called alongside, who walks alongside. Folks, it doesn't matter how bad a week we had this past week. We were never alone. We were never alone because God's Spirit was walking right there beside us. The same Spirit that walks along the most godly of people that are the most blessed is the same Spirit that walks along beside us when we're going through the darkest times of our lives. Amen. So then you who are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. All right. At one time, the Jews looked at the Gentiles and they said, you know, these Gentiles, they call them all sorts of unpleasant things. And he says, so they're no longer strangers to the love of God. They're no longer aliens to the love of God, but now we're fellow citizens. Amen? Now, I praise God that I'm a citizen of the United States of America. Amen? And there was a time in the history of this world when that really meant something. There was a time under President Reagan that, you know, you misbehaved and did something to a United States citizen, you just might have a B-52 bomber flying over your house. Amen? I remember a certain dictator in Libya who got a little uppity one time and they planted a bomb in his tent from about 50,000 feet. And then you didn't hear anything from Muammar Gaddafi for a long time, did you? Okay. There was a time when it meant something to be a United States citizen. That we were not something that would be an object of attack, a target, to be an object of ridicule, to be something that, you know, you would hunt down, that you would seek after to do harm or to danger to. There was a time when the United States was respected in the world. But more than being a United States citizen, we are now a citizen of heaven. Amen. A citizen of God's kingdom. And you know what? God doesn't forget either. Amen. God doesn't overlook things either. He knows when His children are being abused. He knows when His loved ones are in danger. Amen. And so we're no longer strangers and aliens, but we're fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. Members of the household of God. Well, I like that. I like that. You know, I've told you the story so many times of at the end of my mother's funeral, and we were sitting in the limousine, and we had gotten word that something had happened, and my sister was reacting quite emotionally to this news, and my dad reminded us, you just remember, we're climbies, okay, and we have each other. Doesn't matter what else happens in the world. We're a family. And we have each other. Well, guess what? We're family. We're God's family. We're members of the household of God. And people may say, people may do, it doesn't make any difference. Because we know who our Heavenly Father is. Amen? Amen. Amen. So, it doesn't matter. People say things about you. If people do things, it doesn't matter because our Heavenly Father knows. And He's going to take care of us. Amen? You know, I like to tell the story, and forgive me because I've told it so many times. When I was in the sixth grade, my mother was just finishing her bachelor's degree, and her major was English. And so in the English class that I had, we had to write a paper for about our favorite sports. And mine, at that time, I loved basketball. And so I wrote this paper, and I made a little binder for it, and I drew pictures, and I really went into this. And my mother reviewed it, and she said, you know, this is really, really good. I really expect you to bring home an A on this. And so I took my little binder to class, and I was just so proud of myself. And the teacher, you know, asked for the binders and everything to be handed in, and I handed it in, and I got mine back, and I got a failing grade on it. And I looked, and I was just heartbroken. And so we found out later that this teacher, English teacher, was very short. He was horizontally challenged. Is that how it works? Or vertically challenged? Yeah, it wasn't very big. And when he was in high school, his classmates would make fun of him. And my best friend's mother was one of those who made fun of him. And when he found out that my best friend and I, you know, who my best friend was, then he took out all of that pent-up aggression and everything on me. He said, I'll get back at this girl. I'll give the friend of her son's a failing grade. You know, go figure, but somehow that's how vengeance works, doesn't it? And so I remember just coming home, and I was kind of sobbing a little bit because I was truly disappointed. And my mother looked at this, and she said, we're going up to the school. I said, well, school, doesn't matter. We're going up to school. We live two blocks away, block and a half away. She marched me back up to the school. And we walked in the school. She said, you wait out here in the hallway. So I waited out in the hallway, and she shut the door, and you heard some. Boom! And my mother came walking out, and she said, okay, you're going to get a grade will be changed. I said, okay. That was a Friday. Monday, I go to school, and somebody had been thrown up against the blackboard so hard it broke the blackboard. Oh, did I tell you that my mother was a sergeant in the Marine Corps? It wasn't her that got thrown up against the blackboard. we're of the household of God.
Amen.
Amen? It matters who your mom and dad are. Amen? It matters who our Heavenly Father is. Amen? Not that He goes around throwing short teachers up against blackboards, but He does remember. And He says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I shall repay. He takes care of His kids.
Amen?
Amen? And we're members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the cornerstone. And so this is a building. This is a family. It's a living building that we're part of. And it's built by the foundation that's being laid by the apostles and the prophets. And Jesus Christ is the one that holds it all together. Amen? In whom the whole structure being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. And again, what God is showing is that the body of Christ, all believers, whether we call ourselves Catholics or Lutherans or Baptists or Pentecostals or whatever, we're part of one building. The whole structure being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. And who lives in the temple? God lives in the temple. The Holy Spirit lives in the temple. And so what God is doing is He's building one body. He's building, as we learned last week, one man. Not a bunch of different little ones running around. Well, I think that, you know, we need to do this, or I think we need to do that. He's building one man, one body, one temple. that's inhabited by the Holy Spirit. In Him, you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. And you know, one of the, you know, the favorite tricks of the devil is to turn us against each other. One of the best tactic in battle is divide and conquer. Divide and conquer. And you know, in India they have that saying, you know, how do you eat an elephant? You know, one bite at a time. Just a little here and a little there. And what we have seen is that the church of Jesus Christ, this family that was supposed to be one body, that was supposed to be one building, one temple, inhabited by the Holy Spirit of God, has become so fractured and just disjointed that we're busy fighting between ourselves about who's right and who's wrong. How about who's going to heaven and who's not? All right? And let's worry about those that are outside the family of God. Amen? Yes, our enemy, the devil, has been quite a good tactician, hasn't he? He's been successful in 2,000 years to divide us, to separate us, to get us fighting with each other instead of everybody pulling together so that together we can reach out to the rest of the world. That's why this little fellowship of believers is just so unique. Because we've got them all here. I don't think there is a denomination that you can name that isn't somehow represented here. Amen? And that might be a fun little exercise to do sometime when we're not videotaping. You know, find out what our backgrounds all are. But we have all of these backgrounds, but we've decided what is more important is Jesus. Amen? And everything else is simply worship preference. As long as he who hath the Son hath life, and we have the Son, that's all that matters. You know, I remember as a young person, obviously we had watched some Western movie. And my best friend and I decided we were going to become blood brothers. And so, you know, make sure mom doesn't find out, because you know moms, they're always paranoid about what's going to happen. You'd go ahead and cut yourself with a knife on your right hand, and then the other one would cut himself with a knife on the right hand, and then you would grasp hands, and that blood would intermingle, and now your blood was his blood. His blood was you were blood brothers. All right, that's that. At least that's what we saw on the Indian movie. Okay, so I don't know how much fact there is in that, but that's what we saw. But regardless of what would happen or what different backgrounds we had, because of that blood, we were now blood brothers and joined for the rest of our lives. I don't know where he's at. I don't know what he's doing. I don't even know if he's alive. But more importantly, we are all blood brothers and sisters in Christ. Not because of the blood that we shed, but the blood that he shed. Amen. On the cross. Amen. Amen? And because of that blood, we are not any longer Catholics and Lutherans and Baptists and Pentecostals and Episcopalians and whatever. We're not that any longer. We are blood-bought believers. Amen. Amen? That's what we are. Not by works of righteousness that we have done, but according to His mercy, He has saved us by His blood. Amen? And that's what we need to remember, is that we are one group. And it's interesting as we go down the road and we're listening to the radio and you have the different churches making their advertisements or whatever. You need to come to this family. This is the family you need to join. And everybody is trying. You know what? If you already know Jesus, you're already in the family.
Amen.
Amen? And now what we need to worry about is getting those who are outside the family of God back into the family. Amen? Amen. Father, we thank you so much.
Morning comes another day. Time doesn't wait. It doesn't stay. You have a choice you must make. How will you face it all? Life just winds like a mountain road. Sometimes yes and sometimes no. Good or bad, nobody knows. Will you choose to stand or fall? Just when you choose to take it on, the waves stop and the sea goes calm. Lie down to rest your mind. Here comes the rain. Yeah, welcome to the journey.